Hi, precious hearts. Welcome to Awaken Your Divine Potential. My name is Patricia Cota Robles, and I'm delighted to share this time with you today. Today we're going to talk about becoming a spiritual being. And there's some wonderful information that is shared in Wayne Dyer's book, Real Magic, Creating Miracles in Everyday Life, that I'd like to share with you today. He discusses 12 principles that determine whether or not we're a non-spiritual or a spiritual being. And it helps us to have some insight into our own lives, and it helps us decide which path we would like to follow. He discusses these 12 principles, and this information is very enlightening, and it'll help you see how you're living your life and encourage you to make the changes that you'd like to experience in order to have miracles in your life. As you listen to our program today, know that you're joining in consciousness with lightworkers all over the world who are listening to this online broadcast with you. And together, through our collective consciousness, we're co-creating a chalice of light that will serve as an open door through which the light of God is going to flow to bless humanity and all life on this sweet earth. Now, as we begin our time together today, breathe in deeply and feel yourself going within to the divinity of your heart. Feel your heart chakra opening to full breath. Now experience the infinite love of our Father, Mother, God flowing through your heart flame into the heart flame of every man, woman, and child on earth. Know that as the love of God lifts you up, all life is being lifted up with you. The enlightening information we're going to explore today is designed to enhance our ability to be effective light workers on this planet and to help us reach our divine potential and open to the miracles that are available for us that we are co-creating in this existence. Remember, the past is over and the future does not exist yet. All we have is this present moment. So open your heart and mind and be here now. This is a message from Wayne Dyer. It's an excerpt from his book, Real Magic, Creating Miracles in Everyday Life. This is a wonderful book, and I highly recommend it. Listen to these words that Wayne is sharing and bring them into your heart. See how they apply to your life personally. And now I'm quoting from the book. Becoming a spiritual being is synonymous with being a miracle worker and knowing the bliss of real magic. The differences between people who are non-spiritual or physical-only beings and those whom I call spiritual beings are dramatic. I use the terms spiritual and non-spiritual in this sense, that a spiritual being has a conscious awareness of both the physical and the invisible dimensions, while the non-physical being is only aware of the physical domain. Neither category, as I use them, implies atheism or religious orientation in any way. The non-spiritual person is not incorrect or bad because he or she experiences the world in only a physical matter. There are 12 beliefs and practices for you to cultivate as you develop your abilities to manifest miracles in your life. So becoming a spiritual being is outlined here in an all-out necessary and important part of creating real magic in our objective lifetime. Beginning with the first principle, the non-spiritual being lives exclusively within the five senses, believing that if you cannot see, touch, smell, hear, or taste something, then that something doesn't exist. The spiritual being knows that beyond the five physical senses, there are other senses we use to experience the world of form. As you work toward becoming a spiritual being, as well as a physical being, you begin to live more and more consciously with the invisible realm. You begin to know that there are senses beyond this physical world. Even though you cannot perceive it through one of the five senses, you know that you are a soul with a body, and that your soul is beyond limits and defies birth and death. It is not governed by any of the rules and regulations that govern this physical universe. To be a spiritual being means that you allow yourself the option of being multisensory. Hence, a whole new world opens up for you. As Gary Zukav writes in his book, The Seat of the Soul, quote, "The experiences of the multisensory human are less limited than the experiences of the five-sensory human. They provide more opportunities for growth and development and more opportunities to avoid unnecessary difficulties." End quote. The second principle. Non-spiritual beings believe that we are alone in the universe. The spiritual being knows that he or she is never alone. A spiritual being is comfortable with the idea of having teachers, observers, and divine guidance available at any time. If we believe we are souls with bodies, rather than bodies with souls, then the invisible, eternal part of ourselves is always available to us for assistance. Once this belief is firm and unshakable, it can never be doubted, regardless of what rational arguments those who live exclusively in the physical world might try to project upon us. For some, this is called intense prayer. For others, it is universal, omnipresent intelligence or force. And for others, it is spiritual guidance. It matters not what you call this higher self or how you spell it, since it is beyond definition, labels, and language itself. For the non-spiritual being, this is all hogwash. We show up on earth, we have one life to live, and no one has any ghosts around them or within them to help out. This is a physical-only universe to the non-spiritual being. And the goal is to manipulate and control this physical plane. The spiritual being sees the physical world as an arena for growth and learning, with a specific purpose of serving and evolving into higher levels of love. Non-spiritual beings accept the existence of a supreme being or God, not as a universal force that is within us, but as a separate power that will someday hold us accountable. They do not see themselves as having assistance or a higher self, unless they have the kind of direct experience or divine presence recorded by St. Paul or St. Francis of Assisi. Spiritual beings simply know, through their personal experience of having been in contact with their own divine guidance, that they are not alone, and that they can use that guidance to become miracle makers in their own lives. The third principle. The non-spiritual being is focused on external power. The spiritual being is focused on personal empowerment. External power is located in the dominance of the control over the physical world. This is the power of war and military might, the power of laws and organization, the power of business and the stock market gains. This is the power of controlling all that is external to the self. The non-spiritual being is focused on this external power. By contrast, the spiritual being is focused on empowering himself and others to higher and higher levels of consciousness and achievement. The use of force over another is not a possibility for the spiritual being. He or she is not interested in collecting power, but rather in helping others to live in harmony and to experience real magic. This is the power of love that does not judge others. There is no hostility or anger in this kind of power. It is true empowerment to know that one can live in the world with others who have differing points of view and have no need to control or vanquish them as victims. A spiritual being knows the enormous power that comes with the ability to manipulate the physical world with one's mind. a mind at peace, a mind centered and focused on not harming others, is stronger than any physical force in the universe. The entire philosophy of Aikido or the Oriental martial arts is based not on external power over the opponent, but on becoming at one with that external energy to remove the threat. Empowerment is the inner joy of knowing that external force is not necessary to be at harmony with oneself. To the non-spiritual being, no other way is known. One must constantly be ready for war. Even though the spiritual masters to whom they often pledge allegiance speak against such use of power, the non-spiritual being simply cannot see other alternatives. And the fourth principle. The non-spiritual being feels separated and distinct from all others, a being unto himself. The spiritual being knows that he is connected to all others and lives his life as if each person he meets shares being human with him. When a person feels separate from all others, he becomes more self-centered and much less concerned about the problems of others. He may feel some sympathy for people starving in another part of the world, but that person's daily approach is, "It's not my problem." The splintered personality, the non-spiritual being, is focused more on his own problems and often feels that other human beings are either in his way or trying to get what he wants, so he must do in the other guy before he gets done in himself. The spiritual being knows that we are all connected, and he is able to see the fullness of God in each and every person with whom he makes contact. This sense of connectedness eliminates much of the inner conflict that the non-spiritual being experiences as he consistently judges others, categorizes them according to the physical appearances and behaviors, and then proceeds to find ways to either ignore or take advantage of them for his own benefit. Being connected means that the need for conflict and confrontation is eliminated. Knowing that the same invisible force that flows through himself flows through all others allows the spiritual being to truly live by the golden rule. The spiritual being thinks, "How am I treating others is essential to how I am treating myself, and vice versa." The meaning of "love thy neighbor as thyself" is clear to the spiritual being, while it is considered nonsense by the non-spiritual being. Negative judgment is not possible when one feels connected to all others. The spiritual being knows that he cannot define another by his judgments, and he only defines himself as he is a judgmental person. Research at the subatomic quantum level reveals an invisible connection between all particles and all members of a given species. This oneness is being demonstrated in remarkable scientific discoveries. The findings show that physical distance, what we think of as empty space, does not preclude a connection by invisible forces. Obviously, there exist invisible connections between our thoughts and our actions. We do not deny this, even though the connection is impervious to our senses. The non-spiritual being cannot make such a leap, but the spiritual being knows that this invisible force connects him to all others, and therefore he treats all others as if they were a part of himself. It is a question of knowing. The non-spiritual being acts as if he were an island, separate and distinct from others, unconnected. Plainly stated, miracles and real magic are simply unavailable to those who believe themselves to be an island in a sea of humanity. Principle number 5. The non-spiritual being believes exclusively in cause and effect interpreted in life. The spiritual being knows that there is a higher power working in the universe beyond mere cause and effect. The non-spiritual being lives exclusively in the physical world, where cause and effect rule. If one plants a seed, which is the cause, he will see the result, which is the effect. If one is hungry, he will seek food. If one is angry, he will vent that anger. This is indeed a rational and logical way to think and behave, but since the third law of motion, which is for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, is always operating in the physical universe, it's logical to assume that that is the reality. The spiritual being goes beyond Newton's physics and lives in an entirely different realm. The spiritual being knows that thoughts come out of nothingness and that in our dream state, one-third of our entire physical lives, where we are in pure thought, cause and effect play no role whatsoever. Principle number 6. The non-spiritual being is motivated by achievement, performance, and acquisitions. The spiritual being is motivated by ethics, serenity, and the quality of life. For the non-spiritual person, the focus is on learning for the purpose of a higher grade, getting ahead, and acquiring possessions. The purpose of athletics is competition. Success is measured in external labels such as position, rank, bank accounts, and awards. These are all very much a part of our culture, and certainly not objects to be scorned. They simply are not the focus of a spiritual being's life. For the spiritual being, success is achieved by aligning oneself with one's purpose, which is not measured by performance or acquisitions. The spiritual being knows that these external things flow into one's life in sufficient amounts and that they arrive as a result of living purposefully. The spiritual being knows that living purposefully involves serving in a loving fashion. Mother Teresa, who spent many of her years caring for the most downtrodden among those living in the slums of Calcutta, defined purpose in this way. This is a quote from Mother Teresa. For the love of God, the fruit of love is service, which is compassion in action. Religion has nothing to do with compassion. It is our love for God that is the main thing, because we have all been created for the sole purpose to love and be loved. That ends Mother Teresa's quote. And I continue now with Dwayne Dwyer's information. It is in ways such as this that the spiritual being's inner and outer reality is experienced. It is not necessary to become a saint ministering to the impoverished to become a spiritual being. One simply must know that there is much more to life than achievement, performance, and acquisitions, and that the measure of a life is not in what is accumulated, but rather in what is given to others. Living ethically, morally, and serenely, while being aligned with a spiritual purpose, is at the core of the spiritual person's being. Real magic cannot be experienced when your focus is on getting more for yourself, particularly if it is at the expense of others. when you experience a sense of serenity and quality about your life. Knowing your mind is what creates such a state. You will always know that from such a state of mind flows miracle-making magic. Principle number 7. The non-spiritual being has no place within his awareness for the practice of meditation. The spiritual being cannot imagine life without it. For the non-spiritual being, the idea of looking quietly within oneself and sitting alone for any period of time, repeating a mantra, emptying one's mind, and seeking answers by aligning oneself to one's higher self borders on lunacy. For this person, answers are sought by working hard, struggling, persevering, setting goals, reaching those goals, and setting new ones, and competing in a dog-eat-dog world. The spiritual being knows about the enormous power of the practice of meditation. He knows meditation makes him more alert and able to think more clearly. He knows the very special effect meditation has on relieving stress and tension. Spiritual people know, by virtue of having been there and experienced it firsthand, that one can get divine guidance by becoming peaceful and quiet and asking for answers. They know there are multidimensional and that the invisible mind can be tapped at higher and higher levels through meditation. Or whatever you want to call the practice of being alone and emptying your mind of the frenetic thoughts that occupy so much of daily life. Spiritual people know that in deep meditation, one can leave the body and enter the sphere of magic that is as blissful as a state of any drug they could temporarily provide. For the non-spiritual being, this is perceived as an escape from reality. But for the spiritual being, it is an introduction to a whole new reality, a reality that includes an opening in life that will lead to miracle-making. And principle number 8. For the non-spiritual being, the concept of intuition can be reduced to a hunch or a haphazard thought that accidentally pops into one's head on occasion. For the spiritual being, intuition is far more than a hunch. It is viewed as guidance or as God talking, and this inner insight is never taken lightly or ignored. You know from your own experience that when you ignore your intuitive proddings, you end up regretting it or having to learn the hard way. To the non-spiritual person, intuition is completely unpredictable and occurs in random happenstance. It is often ignored or shunned in favor of behaving in habitual ways. The spiritual being strives to increase consciousness concerning his intuition. He pays attention to invisible messages and knows deep within that there is something working that is much more than a coincidence. Spiritual beings have an awareness of the non-physical world and are not stuck exclusively in a universe restricted to the functioning of their 5 senses. Hence, all thoughts, invisible though they may be, are something to pay attention to. But intuition is much more than a thought about something. It is almost as if one is receiving a gentle prod to behave in a certain way or to avoid something that might be dangerous or unhealthy. Although inexplicable, our intuition is truly a factor in our lives. For the non-spiritual person, this seems to be merely a hunch and nothing to study or become more attuned with. The non-spiritual person thinks, it will pass. It is just my mind at work in a disorderly way. For the spiritual person, these inner intuitive expressions are almost like having a dialogue with God. In his book, Wayne Dyer shares with us a personal perspective. He says, I view my intuition about everything and anything as God talking to me. I pay attention when I feel something strongly, and I always go with that inner inclination. At one time in my life, I ignored it. But now I know better, and these intuitive feelings always, and I mean always, guide me in a direction of growth and purposefulness. Sometimes my intuition tells me where to go to write, and I follow, and the writing is always smooth and flowing. When I have ignored this intuition, I have struggled tremendously and blamed writer's block. I have come to not only trust that guidance in my writing, but to rely on it virtually in all areas of my life. I have developed a private relationship with my intuition, from what to eat to what to write about, to how to relate to my wife and other family members. I meditate on it, trust it, study it, and seek to become more aware of it. When I do ignore it, I pay the price, and then remind myself of the lesson to trust that inner voice the next time. I figure if I can talk to God and call it prayer, believing in such a universal divine presence, then there is nothing loony about having God talk to me. All the spiritual people I've read about share a similar feeling. Intuition is loving guidance, and they know enough not to ignore it. That is the end quote of Wayne Dyer's personal sharing. Now, continuing with the principles in his book, principle number 9. The non-spiritual being is involved with a lot of fighting. He is aligned with the tools of power in a war against whatever he believes to be evil. This person knows what he hates, and he experiences a great deal of inner turmoil over perceived wrongs. Much of his energy, both mental and physical, is devoted to what he perceives to be bad or evil. Spiritual beings do not order their lives to be against anything. They are not against starvation. They are for feeding people and seeing that everyone in the world is nutritionally satisfied. They work on what they are for, rather than fighting what they are against. Fighting starvation only weakens the fighter and makes him angry and frustrated. But working for a well-fed populace is empowering. Spiritual beings are not against war. They are for peace and spend their energy on working for peace. They do not join a war on drugs or poverty, because wars need warriors and fighters, and this will not make the problem go away. Spiritual beings are for a well-educated youth who can be euphoric, giddy, and high without the need for external substances. They work toward this end, helping young people to know the power of their own minds and bodies. They fight nothing. When you fight evil by employing the methods of hatred and violence, you are part of the hatred and violence of evil itself. Despite the rightness of your position in your own mind, you are perpetuating the thing you are opposing. If all of the people in the world who are against terrorism and war were to shift their perspective to supporting and working for peace, terrorism and war would be eliminated. Somehow, our priorities are turned upside down. Spiritual beings do not get tied up with hatred. They are focused thoughtfully on what they are for, and they translate that into action. Spiritual beings keep their thoughts on love and harmony in the face of things they would love to see changed. All that you fight weakens you. All that you are for empowers you. In order to manifest miracles, you must be totally focused on what you are for. Real magic occurs in your life when you have eliminated the hatred that is in your life, even the hatred that you have against hatred. And the 10th principle. The non-spiritual person feels no sense of responsibility to the universe. Therefore, he has not developed a reverence for life. The spiritual being has a reverence for life that goes to the essence of all beings. The non-spiritual being believes, as Gary Zukav indicated in his book, that we are conscious and that the universe is not. The non-spiritual being thinks that his existence will end with this lifetime and that he is not responsible to the universe. The non-spiritual being has become arrogant. The spiritual being behaves as if God and all life matters, and he feels a sense of responsibility to the universe. He is in awe for this life and that he has a mind with which to process the physical universe. That awe leads him to look outward at all life and to recognize the divinity within all things and the environment with a sense of appreciation and reverence, to engage with life itself at a deeper level than merely the material world. To the spiritual being, the cycles of life are approached as representatives of infinity. That is truly honoring life. It is a gentle and kind approach toward all that is in our world, a recognition that the earth itself and the universe beyond has a consciousness, and that our life is connected in some unseen way to all life now and in the past and in the future. The invisible intelligence that suffuses all form is a part of ourselves. Thus, a reverence for all life is knowing that there is a soul in everything. That soul is worthy of being honored. The spiritual person is conscious of the need not to take more of the earth than is needed, and to give back to the universe in some fashion for those who will inhabit the planet after himself. Miracle-making capabilities come out of a strong reverence for life. This includes your own life, and therefore, in order to know real magic, you must learn to think and act in ways consistent with being a reverent spiritual being. And the 11th principle. The non-spiritual being is laden with grudges, hostility, and the need for revenge. The spiritual being has no room in his heart for these impediments to miracle making and real magic. The spiritual being knows that all spiritual masters have talked about the importance of forgiveness. Here are a few examples from our major religious teachings. From Judaism, quote, "The most beautiful thing a man can do is to forgive wrong." And a quote from Christianity, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?' 'As many as 7 times,' Jesus said to him. 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. And a quote from Islam, "Forgive thy servant 70 times a day. And from Sikhism, where there is forgiveness, there is God Himself. And from Taoism, recompense injury with kindness. And from Buddhism, never is hate diminished by hatred. It is only diminished by love. This is an eternal law, for the spiritual being is a crucial to be able to walk the talk. One cannot profess to be a practicing member of a given faith and then behave in ways inconsistent with the teachings. Forgiveness is an act of the heart. And the 12th principle. The non-spiritual being believes that there are real-world limitations, that although there may be some evidence for the existence of miracles, they are viewed as random happenings for a few fortunate others. The spiritual being believes in miracles and his own unique ability to receive loving guidance and to experience a world of real magic. The spiritual being knows that miracles are very real. He believes the forces that have created miracles for others are still present in the universe and can be tapped into. The non-spiritual being sees miracles in a totally different light. He believes them to be accidents and therefore has no faith in his own ability to participate in the miracle-making process. The conclusion is that the 12 principles that are required in being a spiritual person actually take very little from you. They are not difficult to understand, nor do they require any long training or indoctrination on your part. They can be accomplished in this very instant in which you are now listening. Becoming a spiritual being takes place within that invisible self that I have been talking about. Regardless of how you have chosen to be up until now, working toward becoming a spiritual being can be your choice today. You do not have to adopt any specific religious tenets or undergo a religious transformation. You simply have to decide that this is the way you would like to live out the remainder of your life. With this kind of inner commitment, you are on your way. It is important to recognize that real magic is unavailable to those who choose the non-spiritual life. Being able to make miracles happen is fundamentally a result of how you choose to align yourself, how you choose to use your mind, and how much faith you have in being able to use it to affect your physical world. This wonderful sharing is an excerpt from Wayne Dyer's book, Real Magic, Creating Miracles in Everyday Life. I highly recommend this book. It is a wonderful tool in helping us reach our highest divine potential. One of the most important things in being a spiritual being is to really understand about our purpose in being and how we can most effectively add to the light of the world. As we learn more about our purpose and reason for being, we begin to clearly see that our spiritual growth and development is enhanced when we understand about the divine principles of ministering grace. Ministering grace is an activity of our Father, Mother, God that is available in the aspects of deity that are now flowing into the consciousness of humanity. Ministering grace is selfless giving service, and it is the fastest, surest road to spiritual development. It is not only the fastest and surest, but it is also the most fulfilling and the most rewarding. So as we choose to become a spiritual being through selfless giving service, we have the ability to manifest miracles in our lives. Nowhere in the universe do we have a better example of the benefits of ministering grace than we do when we observe the works of the angelic kingdom. If we will lift up in consciousness and observe these precious servants of our Father, Mother, God, we will learn lessons of selflessness that will enable us to transform our lives as we carry this planet home back to the heart of God. Whenever the name of God is invoked by humanity, either silently or audibly, the angels of ministering grace are instantly flowing into our lives on the return current. They come with the fullness of God's love, blessings, benediction, healing, faith, and power. The blessings that the angels of ministering divine grace bring to us are from God, and they're given to each of us according to our capacity to receive them. We live, move, and have our being truly within the living, breathing, intelligent body of God. And no matter how far we may have strayed in our behavior or our thoughts, we can never leave the safety of God's presence. All we need to do is awaken to the reality of our presence within the safe, secure, loving heart of God, which will lift us in consciousness out of our self-created illusion of separation. Sometimes we feel that we're alone, but that is never the case. And it is usually this illusion of separation that creates our depression, failures of failure consciousness, and our feelings of unworthiness. The angels of ministering grace are selfless servants of God, and it is their great opportunity and joy in the divine plan to minister to the people of earth who have created painful experiences for themselves, and in their pain, sooner or later, asked God to extricate them. All we have to do is invoke the assistance from our Father, Mother, God to open the door to the angels of God's ministering grace. The ministering angels answer the prayers and calls for all humanity. These angels reach in graded order from the heart of the great central sun down to the depths of the most distorted frequencies of the psychic astral realm, where they are serving to extricate humanity from those painful conditions. They are alerted the moment the flame in our heart begins to stir and the silent call, God help me, arises from within our consciousness. At that moment, according to our personal requirements in that instant, one or more ministering angels are sent into our auras to bring grace and assistance. Angels are the messengers of God, and their service to humanity is not fully understood. There is a cosmic law which is inexorable and unchanging, which requires that the call for help must come from the dimension in which the help is needed. This law complies with our gift of free will. What this means is that the angelic kingdom cannot intervene in our lives unless we ask for its assistance. Once the call for assistance has been made, however, on the return current of that very plea comes the radiation, presence, and power of the angelic host according to the requirement of the hour and our personal need at the time. The angels abide in the atmosphere of earth, and they are ever vigilant in their watch for a flicker of light which signifies an SOS from humanity to the heavenly realms for assistance. The current need is evaluated. Then the mission is directed to the angels who are trained sufficiently to hold within their feeling worlds the particular quality of radiation which is needed to answer the prayer. These could be angels of healing, angels of divine love, angels of wisdom, angels of enlightenment, angels of peace, angels of harmony, music, balance, and all of the other divine qualities of our Father, Mother, God. The quality that we need stimulates the flame within the heart of the person making the call. And as the heart flame is ignited with the necessary quality that has been projected into our heart from the angelic host, the person then is able to magnetize the answer to his or her prayer into their life experiences. Again, the answer comes according to our acceptance. So once we make the call, we need to be open, receptive, and accepting of that influx of light from the angelic kingdom. It is by actual experience that the angels grow and develop and learn the joy that is within service. They are allowed to witness the change in our consciousness as we are blessed with their benediction. The happiness and joy that shines within the eyes of the angels when they see our transformation is wondrous to behold. They see our stooped form straighten and our hopeless consciousness filled with faith and joy and expectation. They return to the realms of perfection, charged with enthusiasm and a burning desire to return earthward again and again until there is no life stream left on this physical plane, either in the human kingdom or the angelic or elemental kingdom, which requires any assistance out of the flame of divinity blazing in their own hearts. We can truly learn from the angels as we hold the qualities and virtues of God in our consciousness and breathe them forth into the world with our every breath. We can understand the joy and enthusiasm the angels experience as we convey courage, faith, and confidence to those that we come in contact with in our daily lives. As spiritual beings, we have great potential to add to the light of the world, creating miracles in not only our own lives, but in the lives of our loved ones and all of those existing on the planet. Then, with renewed vigor, we will want to return again and again to the source of perfection in our hearts and magnetize even greater light, increasing our capacity to radiate the qualities of God to even larger spheres of influence until we have enveloped the entire planet Earth in the wonder of this pure light. If we will experience this daily and experiment with these divine gifts, we will gradually become adept at maintaining a force field around ourselves that is perpetually charged with the gifts of the ministering angels and the qualities and virtues of God. It is a lovely and powerful way to experiment with our gift of life. Each morning, when we awaken, we can think of the quality of God that would benefit all our friends and loved ones and associates the most that day. Then we can invoke that divine quality. It can be one or many. It could be love, peace, joy, harmony, kindness, forgiveness, compassion, healing, truth, God's will, divine purpose, enthusiasm, prosperity, success, victory, freedom, purity, wisdom, understanding, clarity, balance, comfort, grace, and on ad infinitum. after we decide what divine quality we want to blaze through our heart flames as a predominant momentum for the day, we can focus the full power of our attention on that virtue and fill our consciousness with it. Then we can invoke the angels of ministering grace that embody that particular quality and ask them to sustain it within our auras and our feeling worlds throughout the day, so that moment by moment, with every breath we take, we are blessing all life in our sphere of influence with these divine qualities. And we can then expand these divine qualities to flood the entire planet Earth and out into the universe. We can also ask that the qualities be intensified daily and hourly, moment by moment, until this is a momentum of divine purpose through all life on this planet. As we practice this simple exercise each day, we will become more and more proficient at it, and soon we will be so anchored and efficient in our ability to maintain an aura of the various divine qualities from our Father, Mother, God, that we will no longer be bombarded by the negativity that's emanating from the mass consciousness in our environment. Instead, these divine qualities radiating out from our heart will deflect away all of the human effluvia, all of the mass consciousness that's surfacing to be healed and transmuted. And the light we are projecting out will enter that negativity and assist in the process of transmuting it back into light. When that occurs, we will be a peace-commanding presence, and our service will be a healing benediction to all life. At that point, we will truly be spiritual beings. We will be in the world, but not of it. When we have learned to control our auras and have them always qualified with light, we will be open portals through which the light from the octaves of perfection and truth will be projected in an instant to any person, place, condition, or thing through our unified service with the angels of ministering grace and our Father, Mother, God. During these changing times, there is much confusion and often pain, and it's easy for us to get caught up in the illusion of chaos. It's time for us now to shift that consciousness. The core of purity within every electron of precious life energy evolving on Earth is now expanding and expanding as the light flows from our heart flame into every particle of life. This expansion of light is causing the negativity to surface at an accelerated pace, creating some extreme imbalances in the outer world. As the light of God increases on Earth, portals are being opened in the sea of negativity surrounding the planet. And these portals have allowed the light from the higher dimensions and octaves of perfection greater access to the physical plane. That means that each of us has a greater ability to absorb this light. As you know now, we have moved into the initial impulses of the fifth dimension. This energy is being securely established through every heart flame. As it expands through every heart flame, greater octaves of light are available on this planet, and humanity is being given the opportunity to enter in consciousness into higher frequencies of the divine aspects of God. All life evolving on Earth is stepping up in vibration, and daily and hourly, each and every one of us has the ability to greatly accelerate our service with the angels of ministering grace. Beloved ones, this is really a wonderful and powerful time for all of us to add to the light of the world. focus on this throughout this week and feel these energies expanding and expanding through your heart flame as you become a powerful instrument of our Father, Mother, God. Please join with me again next week as we join in consciousness with the entire company of heaven and lightworkers around the world, adding to the light of the world. I'm Patricia Cota Robles, and you've been listening to Awaken Your Divine Potential.